You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards, this Saturday evening, July the 9th, broadcasting from the road in Alabama. I'll be back to the home studio next week, but first, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, an absolutely horrific show coming your way for the next 3 hours at a yet another one of these peaceful Black Lives Matter demonstration. Violence ensued, and this time it was historic. A peaceful protester shot 12 police officers in Dallas, Texas on Thursday night, killing 5 at last count. Perhaps that has gone up since what I last read this morning. This evening, we're going to break down the outrageous tragedy by presenting the facts before examining the racially charged attack from the media's perspective with Sean Bergen, a law enforcement perspective in the second hour with Jim Lancia, and we will also explore the racial angle that prompted the murderer to target white cops, also later on in the broadcast tonight. But first, Sean Bergen. Sean, I wish we were, as always, having you on to discuss more uplifting circumstances, but we do appreciate you being here tonight. How are you, my friend?
Well, I'm doing okay, James, and you?
Well, again, okay until Thursday, and I tell you, it really makes one concerned for the future of this country, and I don't think that's being using hyperbole at all. We are really turning a corner in this country, and things are devolving before our very eyes. Sean, I don't even know where to start because the carnage has been so widespread. Certainly the biggest manifestation of it took place in Texas, but you had an incident in Baton Rouge, in Tupelo, Mississippi, in Minnesota, in Valdosta, Georgia, where one of these thugs called 911 and waited for the cops to come and then ambushed them with a false 911 call. I guess we'll try to explore as much of that as we can. Where do you want to begin tonight?
Well, you know, I mean, Thursday night was, I think, probably one of the darkest days in American history that we've seen since 9/11. We lost 5 law enforcement officers in one fell swoop, gunned down by a Army veteran by the name of Micah Johnson. He was, you know, by all accounts, I would call a radicalized black militant. The Army veteran was sent home early from Afghanistan, from what we're finding out now, due to sexual harassment charges. A very troubled individual. Who seemed to be motivated and spurred on and maybe pushed over the edge by these Black Lives Matter protests that emerged after a couple of black men were killed earlier in the week by police officers. We had the incident in Baton Rouge where Alton Sterling, a 300-pound child sex offender, convicted felon, lifelong career criminal, was reported to be menacing somebody on a street corner with a gun. Police show up. Now, this guy, with his police record, is carrying an unlicensed, unregistered gun. There's no way for a guy with his record to be able to get a gun. And he's looking at serious jail time. He's got something to lose. And he doesn't want to go back to the joint, I'm sure. He ends up in a wrestling match with the police, rolling around on the ground. They could not subdue him. The cops who were right there on top of him indicated that he was going for his gun. It's understandable why he'd be going for his gun in that situation, because he was looking at major, major jail time, and he probably didn't want to go back. So they killed him. Of course, there was cell phone video from one angle that showed this guy was on the ground, and you know it's unclear from that perspective that this guy was actually going for a gun, had a gun in his pocket. All they know is that that video showed the gun being removed from the guy's pocket after he was shot to death. But look, the fact of the matter is he could reach his hand into his pocket and shoot that gun right through his shorts and kill anybody who was on top of him. So, you know, the media, of course, jumps on this narrative, just like we saw in Ferguson around this time 2 years ago, by portraying this guy as a gentle giant, a family man, completely overlooking his criminal history, completely overlooking the fact that he had a very strong motive to kill police under those circumstances, and whitewashing the whole situation and turning this into a racial incident where white police officers are out hunting black men for prey. Now, that was followed a day or two later by an incident up in Minnesota involving a man by the name of Philando Castillo, and his shooting was streamed live by his dope-smoking girlfriend, Diamond Lavish Reynolds, who videotaped this guy being shot. Now, what was not reported initially was that what was reported initially was that this guy was pulled over simply because he had a broken taillight. A couple of days later, we find out that it wasn't a broken taillight at all. The 911 calls and the dispatcher recordings indicate that this guy was pulled over because he bore a striking resemblance to an armed robbery suspect who had held up a convenience store just two blocks from where he was pulled over. This guy was also reported initially to have a holstered weapon at his side, and he was a concealed carry permit holder. None of those things is true. That gun was in his lap, on his leg, and he has no concealed carry weapon permit, according to the local sheriff. So here we have, again, a liberal news media that has in its mind this narrative, and they are going to cherry-pick facts to fill this narrative. And this narrative says that white cops are out there hunting down black men, innocent black men, for sport. And what we've seen now, with a couple of days going by, all of a sudden we get a fuller picture of what's actually going on here. And it's understandable in those circumstances when an officer tells a guy, "Don't move." He had a gun in his lap. I mean, these cops are now in such an impossible position. And this now gives rise to what? Speeches from President Obama. I'm going to take you back now a couple of years to the gunning down of officers Lou and Ramos in New York City when a guy by the name of Brinsley, another unhinged character, is, spurred into action by a presidential speech that condemns cops. And that's exactly what preceded this incident here in Dallas, is that President Obama got out there and starts condemning the cops for, what looked like racially motivated killings without waiting for any facts to come in. And, now we end up with some unhinged character grabs a rifle and opens fire on cops at what was supposed to be a peaceful demonstration. It's the same situation playing itself out over and over and over again, because this is a liberal mindset. These people are incapable of changing their thinking. Could you just look back at Ferguson and see what happened there? Because that was a lie. And when that whole story began to unravel right before everybody's eyes, they still persisted with this story that Mike Brown was, just some innocent guy who was out strolling down the road one night.
Sean, hold up right there, my friend. So many facets, so many details to unpack here, because it is all obviously directly related to these previous occurrences that have taken place going back a couple of years now. Much more to come right after this. We're just getting started tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not trying to dramatize this story or our coverage of it. I think, first of all, it would be impossible to do that because it really is a living nightmare to know that this country, we actually now live in a war zone. This whole country, it could flare up anywhere at any time. America is becoming a third world country before our very eyes. We're very lucky and very blessed to have a pro like Sean Bergen come on and help us break down the facts of this story, the facts of these incidents, how they're related, and of course, to provide honest commentary on these events, the likes of which no other talk radio network is going to do. And of course, as Sean mentioned, what happened in Baton Rouge, where you had this 300-pound convicted child sex offender brandishing a weapon at a 7-Eleven where he was bootlegging CDs for sale. Cops get a 911 call. Obviously, he's being very resistant. You get a video that obviously doesn't show you everything that happened, but of course the facts don't matter. And this guy is immediately minted as a saint and as a martyr in Baton Rouge. Now, let's let all the facts come out. Let there be an investigation. If it has to go to a jury, let them make their decision. But we don't have that yet, not based off that sketchy video. But that didn't stop the media from moving forward in minting this guy, again, as I say, as a martyr. We know at the very least he was not a good person. We know that at the very least, that he was a sketchy individual. So you go from Baton Rouge, and then Barack Obama has this press conference after Baton Rouge, hours before what took place in Dallas. And in his press conference, Barack Obama demonized the police and claimed that the criminal justice system is institutionally racist and biased against blacks. This, again, occurred just hours before Dallas. This was the president's response to Baton Rouge. A couple of things before I turn this back to Sean. Number one, Black Lives Matter owns Dallas. As the Lieutenant Governor of Dallas pointed out, what happened in Dallas is their baby. The liberal media never fails to blame when the roles were reversed, when you have a nut like Dylann Roof go off. Well, all white Southerners are obviously to blame for his actions, according to the media. But yet when something like this happens, which is obviously a far more common occurrence, it is just a deranged individual. And as Loretta Lynch said, we can't let this reflect poorly on the peaceful demonstrations at Black Lives Matter. Well, all of these demonstrations have some level of violence there. These protesters were out demonstrating against the cops. They have been seen all over the country screaming things like pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon, and fomenting hate against law enforcement. And remember the time Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders debated whether Black Lives Matter or All Lives Matter? Trump would be crazy not to point out and connect Hillary to Black Lives Matter because the Democratic Party officially endorsed the Black Lives Matter movement in their party's platform. I think, Sean, this is clearly a terrorist group. This is clearly a terrorist group. And these acts of terrorism, whether it's Muslims or Black Lives Matter, are beginning to happen now on a near monthly basis. I was going down and jotting notes as you spoke in the opening segment, Sean. Just in the last year and a half, you've got San Bernardino, you've got Orlando, obviously Dallas, but it wasn't just Dallas. There was a rash of other incidents this week in Minnesota, in Valdosta, Georgia, and in other places. In Memphis, we're hearing reports that authorities there are telling whites not to go to any gas stations this week because of Facebook activity where blacks are threatening to inflict harm upon whites they find in Memphis. You had Baltimore, which got burned to the ground, Ferguson, which got burned to the ground. And then in Europe, you have Brussels, Paris, Turkey, and others. Where do we go from here, Sean?
Well, I think the president should be impeached for inciting mass murder.
Yes.
Let's start right there. Let's start with that. You know, you touched on a number of different things here. You mentioned Loretta Lynch. Well, Loretta Lynch encouraged Black Lives Matter to continue the struggle. Black Lives Matter has been praised by the president for doing good work. Their leadership has been invited to the White House, where I guess he could praise them in person for doing
good work. Excellent point. Excellent.
The president is in cahoots with a domestic terrorist organization, and it's not just Black Lives Matter. There are other groups that are affiliated with them, like the New Black Panther Party. Also, the African American Defense League, whose leader just called today, is calling on gangs, street gangs, the Bloods and the Crips to unite across the country and attack everyone in blue across the nation except for the mailman. That's what he said. Now, when you have a president and an attorney general who are in cahoots with groups like Black Lives Matter and the New Black Panther Party and the African American Defense League, this country is unraveling right before our very eyes. As we speak right now, the Dallas Police Headquarters is back on lockdown with
yes.
teams stationed out front because of threats that have been communicated there. We have police officers now in Washington, D.C., who have to travel in pairs. The same thing has happened in New York City. All police officers now are ordered to travel in pairs, and the same out here on Long Island, where I'm calling you from, in Nassau County. I mean, I don't think you're overstating just how grave this situation is. And you know, when you have a president and a liberal media who are in cooperation with domestic terrorist groups, I mean, are these guys trying to set the stage for a revolution? Are they trying to incite such chaos that the president has no choice but to suspend the elections and impose martial law? I mean, is this all being engineered by the likes of multi-billionaire George Soros? Because he's a big funder of these organizations. There's a lot of money behind these people. I mean, you know, I mean, where do we begin? I mean, it boggles the mind. I mean, this is like something out of a James Bond film, for God's sakes.
This is a banana republic, third world, criminally corrupt government. I thought, and I should never think this, I should never think there's even a shred, and I don't think there's a shred of decency, but sure, I thought surely after this they'll have to back down a little bit, but no. The Obama administration doubled down on their support of this domestic terrorist group. And listen, this is just one of tens of thousands of examples I could draw from, but here's a Black Lives Matter supporter on Facebook. Be first to shoot first. I encourage every black man in America to strap up. It is clear. I encourage every white officer to kiss their loved ones goodbye every time you leave the house. Tell them you love them because you will not make it home. Also, if you do make it home, you might find their dead bodies sprawled all over the house. This is war. We're tired. I don't care who I offend. I don't have any more words. I only have bullets. It's time to start going into their homes and killing their families. No effing playing or smiling. Sean, that is par for the course for Black Lives Matter. They say, well, we can't let a few of these people poorly reflect upon the majority. But no, I think that is exactly the majority. And that is the kind of sentiment that the Democratic Party has married itself to. The Obama administration, no, they didn't back down. Loretta Lynch doubled down. It is, I have chills down my spine right now. It's just unbelievable. It's so infuriating. You really don't have the words for it on AM talk radio.
Right, that's right. And, you know, it shocks the conscience. There's no question about that, James. And, you know, okay, so what are good, honest, upstanding American citizens to do? I don't know, but I can tell you what I think the police should do. This is what I'm calling for. I am calling on union leaders, Fraternal Order of Police, across the country, every chapter, every sector, to start to announce a national week of rage, where all police officers just stand down, don't go to work, call in sick, calling for a national police strike. I think that would send a very clear message.
Hey, Sean, I want to pick up on that after this break, because I've talked to a lot of police officers off the record this week, and I'm going to share some of my findings with that I've had with them to you and the rest of the audience when we come back. Stay tuned.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. For nearly 2 years, Major Jason Bresler has been fighting involuntary separation from the Marine Corps after he was accused of improper dissemination of classified information, the same offense committed by Hillary Clinton, as a State Department investigation documented and a subsequent FBI investigation confirmed. FBI Director James Comey recommended against prosecuting that offense because of Mrs. Clinton's lack of criminal intent, despite the fact that the statute specifies that gross negligence is the legal standard. Major Bresler's actions weren't the result of negligence, but rather dictated by duty to his colleagues. In 2012, Bresler used an unsecure Yahoo email account to warn other Marines in Afghanistan about a police chief suspected of involvement in attacks on U.S. military personnel. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. In other news, as many of his colleagues in the House of Representatives criticized FBI Director James Comey, Republican Representative Peter King of New York described him as a man of unimpeachable integrity, a total straight shooter. King, who is chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, allows that Comey could have indicted Hillary Clinton if he wanted to. There was enough evidence there. Rather than denouncing Comey for refusing to act on that evidence, King insisted, his fellow Republicans should be embracing him right now, even though they can honestly disagree with his decision not to indict her. If the evidence was sufficient to justify an indictment, as King concedes, failing to do so is not an act of discretion, but one of dereliction. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Before the break, I was sharing with Sean that I've had the opportunity to go up to a few police officers this week. We have members of law enforcement throughout the country that are fans of this radio program, and of course, I've solicited their opinions, but in some cases this week, I've gone up to police officers without identifying myself, just as a citizen, and just asked them questions, and they were quite frank. These police officers, Sean, and I've been traveling all week, so these were police officers not in the Memphis area, but these police officers know what's going on. They're not blind to this, and they don't have blinders on like apparently our government does and our media, and that filters their thoughts through a lens of political correctness. These police officers know exactly what's going on, and Rudy Giuliani was on Fox, I believe it was this morning, it might have been yesterday morning, and he made a great point. If the Black Lives Matter movement truly cared about black lives, they would care about black crime. And I thought that was a great line. And of course, this is an area you're all too familiar with, Sean. And that's some of the things that these police officers were saying to me, that they dread getting calls in these areas because they know whatever action they take could change their lives for the worse forever. And they also said, what would happen if they weren't there? What would these areas look like? And that's a reality that no community wants to find out, but especially the black community where crime is so rampant, and that's just a matter of fact. And so I wonder, what would happen? And the real question is, or I think the real point that needs to be made is, obviously these people aren't possessing any degree of critical thinking. And I'm not talking about the black community at large. I'm talking about these thugs that attend these Black Lives Matter rallies. They are looking for any excuse to go out and commit heinous acts of violence or lawlessness. There was even reports where they were looting stores as police responded to the mass murders in Dallas. There could not be a more lower form of life than people who would engage in an act like that, except for perhaps the shooter himself. And so anyway, with that, I turn it back to you, Sean. But there are good members of the black community out there that really should be serving as a leading voice in the black community. People like Sheriff David A. Clark, who said this week that American people, the entire American people, need to condemn and shun the Black Lives Matter movement. You've got Jesse Lee Peterson. But I'll tell you, one of the groups that you won't find on the SPLC's hate watch list, Black Lives Matter is still not called a hate group, Sean. Still not called a hate group. And then, of course, you have Loretta Lynch, who we've made mention of a couple of times tonight. She encouraged the protesters to not allow the events in Dallas to silence their important voices. I know I'm throwing a lot at you right now, Sean, but again, to use another criminal organization, let's say the Ku Klux Klan. You've got members of the Ku Klux Klan going out and committing heinous acts of violence. Do you think the government would say, well, you know, we can't let just a couple of these guys paint a bad light on the rest of the membership? Obviously, no, and rightly so. But it seems like some criminal organizations are more worthy of support than others.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, this is the clear double standard that exists amongst the institutional left. You're talking about people now, and I have mentioned this numerous times on this air, that you're dealing with people who are, in my view, mentally disordered. In other words, they have personality disorders. They're incapable of being honest with themselves. They are incapable of self-reflection or self-correction. They are grounded in what psychologists call projection, where they take those characteristics that they'd rather not recognize in themselves and they project them onto others. I mean, Black Lives Matter is a domestic terrorist organization. They're also a racist organization, all right? Let's be clear about this. These people are anti-white. I mean, this guy who gunned down these police, he wasn't just out to gun down police officers. He was out to gun down white police officers specifically. And in the aftermath of this, our president, our esteemed leader, says quote, it's difficult to untangle the motives of the gunman. Well, Mr. President, the gunman himself told police that he was motivated by one thing. He wanted to kill white police officers. I mean, this is the type of cognitive dissonance that we have going on with these people. They are, you are, they just can't be reasoned with. I mean, there is no kind of productive discussion that that you can possibly have with these folks. That's why I say that I think that the police need to take the extreme step of just stepping back from these neighborhoods, stepping back from these areas, stepping back from these crime-ridden combat zones. And then maybe black folks, the good black folks in these neighborhoods, maybe they'll step up and they'll start to condemn organizations like the new Black Panther Party. Maybe they'll start to condemn Black Lives Matter. Maybe they'll actually start calling out the urban terrorists who are among them. I'm talking about these gangbanger types, Bloods, Crips, who are out there making life impossible for everybody. Maybe they'll start calling out these guys now and say, you know what, in addition to pulling up your pants, you know, maybe you should refrain. If you're going to spend your money on something, maybe you shouldn't be spending it on drugs and malt liquor and tattoos and illegal guns. And maybe you should actually take the bold step of actually raising your children. You know, these you got young women now walking around with half a dozen kids they're dragging behind them that have been sired by three or four different men. Nobody knows where the heck these guys are. Maybe it's time for the black community to start calling out the black community. I think that's what needs to happen.
Well, and you pointed out another event that took place, obviously, a few months back, where Ismael Brinsley put two pigs in a blanket, as he put it, in New York City with the murders of officers Lou and Ramos. And once again, Black Lives Matter, the movement at large, wasn't blamed for this, even though, obviously, he said that's what motivated him. Their movement motivated him to take that action. I never want to look at the political ramifications of something like this, but I do think you have to in this case, because should Hillary Clinton be elected to be the next president, this is going to be a continuation of coddling and reassuring these thugs that there will be no crackdown against their efforts and their actions. I think we see that clearly now, that the government and the media goes out of its way to make excuses for the people who commit these actions. In fact, you know, I was Googling some of the stories on this, and I saw a great number of stories from mainstream sources in which they lamented the fact that, well, one of the horrible things that have come from this incident in Dallas were that there were a lot of white racists on message boards and in the comment sections of these articles. There were a lot of white people saying racist things, and this is one of the worst things that could come from Dallas. I mean, imagine white people. Now, you shouldn't be rude. You shouldn't be crude. You shouldn't say things anonymously that you wouldn't say in a court of law or on television. But that white people would be outraged is understandable. I don't even know what the comments were that people were saying, because they certainly didn't put that in the stories. But this was the story out of Dallas as well. You know, white people are making rude comments in on the internet about this. But what about all of the comments from these Black Lives Matter supporters, where they guarantee there's going to be more action? You know, they guaranteed that there will be more assassinations in the coming days. Things are falling apart. So Hillary gets elected, that's what you can count on. So I ask you this, Sean. Did Trump win the election on Thursday, or is America just so numb and vapid now that we'll remember this for a couple of weeks and then we'll just all collectively go back to shopping? What do you think?
Well, I mean, look, I don't know. I mean, you know, you raise a very good question, because as these events, you know, happen with greater frequency, it's like they just become ho-hum after a while. You get beyond this, and what's going to happen next week? Is a story going to happen tomorrow that's going to trump what just happened today? I mean, I had Jesse Jackson out there blaming Donald Trump for all this. I mean, everything that happens out there is politicized by these people, because they don't know any other way. They're every fiber of their being is just dedicated to defending this crackpot liberal ideology. They'll blame the NRA, they'll blame Republicans, they'll blame the Tea Party, they'll blame Donald Trump, and they'll look past black-on-black crime. They'll completely look past black-on-white crime. I mean, if there's racism and oppression happening in this world today, it is black on white now, not the other way around. We're 50, 60 years past, you know, the Civil Rights Act.
That's right.
Jim Crow was, in half a century ago, for God's sakes. I mean, the world is upside down, and that's what you can expect when you have insane liberal Democrats in power and insane liberal Democrats running a news media. They're in it together. This is the institutional left, the liberal media, academia, entertainment complex. I mean, just last week we saw that guy, that young actor from Grey's Anatomy, get up at the BET Awards and make some, you know, crazy racist speech, really. I mean, it's about time, I think, we start pointing at anti-white racism. I think that's thank God that we have shows like this where we can actually talk about stuff like that.
Well, we've been doing it for 11 years, and we're doing it with more tenacity and passion now, thanks to having talent like you on the air with us, and more effectively, I might add, and more people tuning in and more media noticing than ever before. And voices like this are absolutely essential. Ladies and gentlemen, we have one more segment with Sean Berg, and you don't want to miss it. It's coming up in 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
North Florida, North America, and YouTube Babylon, are you tired of the direction America is headed?
Yeah!
Are you fed up with all the lies and corruption in government?
Yeah!
Are you tired of the persecution of Christians and other forms of patriots?
Yeah!
Do you want to get involved in the restoration of the Republic but are unsure where to start?
Oh, yeah!
The answers to these questions and more can be found with me, your host, Kevin Blake, Saturday nights, 10 to midnight Central Time, on Liberty News Radio, for the Restore the Republic show, where I will give you all the information needed to restore the Republic. So, Babylon, grab a chair, drink of choice, and get ready to laugh, or cry, or both. Until then, get comfortably disturbed at the RestoreTheRepublicShow.com. That is RestoreTheRepublicShow.com. See you on Saturdays, Babylon.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honeydew items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. One more segment with the incomparable Sean Bergen. We're going to former police officer Jim Lancia at the top of the next hour as coverage of this sadistic mass murder in Dallas continues tonight. I had questions for Sean that I wrote a couple of days ago. Obviously, many of them have already been answered. Will Hillary disavow the Black Lives Matter movement as a terrorist group? Obviously, the answer to that is no. They have doubled down in their support of the group at large, blaming this on just a few renegade individuals. Always violence wherever they congregate. A group of Black Lives Matter thugs attacked a white Trump supporter in Phoenix just last night. And it's just everywhere they go, there is violence. You're lucky if it's not deadly violence. And of course, as Sean mentioned earlier, Barack Obama has had members of the Black Lives Matter organization in the White House on more than one occasion. They're not being disavowed as a terrorist group. They're not even being disavowed as a general hate group. I haven't even heard much about this being a hate crime. But I have heard a lot, of course, about gun control and, of course, white racism that's to blame for this guy going over the edge. I will tell you this, just like we see now in South Africa, if it's open season on white cops, if the government and the media is going to implicitly sanction the actions of this group, we don't have a chance. If it's open season on police, what is the regular citizen to do? And this is what we're talking about. I want to play very quickly a clip from Sheriff David A. Clark. This is the black sheriff in Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, on the Kelly File last night.
Great to see you, Sheriff. So, you know, that this is the message that it's we need to get guns out of the hands of folks like this. But this guy had no record. You know, he was a vet. He was an Army vet. And I don't know. The rhetoric's bad, but I don't know that it caused this guy's behavior.
Megan, I'm sorry, but I'm still trying to make sense out of that babble that was coming out of the mouth of Jesse Jackson. He was talking about weapons that can bring down airliners. He's talking about surface-to-air missiles. Those aren't on the streets in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. That was a pathetic display of what he did. But look at the situation that we face right now. We have some very irresponsible rhetoric coming from some very powerful people. It is time for this nation to stand up with one voice and to condemn and shun this movement called Black Lives Matter. I would like to see the Southern Poverty Law Center place Black Lives Matter alongside those other hate groups that were mentioned, these black nationalist groups, the Black Panther Party, the Nation of Islam. It doesn't mean that those organizations will go away just because they're on that list, but what happens is people start to delegitimize these movements and marginalize them. This movement needs to be marginalized. We have looked at this stuff. We have peeled back the layers. We've looked at the data. We've looked at the research. None of their false narrative about the use of force or about the American police officer can be proved. None of it.
But why,
zero.
How would that have helped this?
Megan,
you know, because this guy wasn't part of Black Lives Matter.
It is time for, he said, according to the chief down there, Chief Brown, he was doing this in the name of Black Lives Matter. He said he wanted to kill
white people.
The language
was a little different than that. It's in a letter.
Okay, but it is time for the liberal mainstream media, the New York Times editorial board, the CNN, MSNBC, to stop walking on eggshells and giving legitimacy to these rants, to all this false narrative coming out of this Black Lives Matter movement. Mm-hmm. Once we do that and marginalize this group, then we can go about all the work. I listened to Loretta Lynch today. That was a great political statement, but nothing else. I don't need to be lectured to her about what we should or shouldn't do after this. I think she should have taken questions. Whenever you have an incident like this, somebody, the chief down there is doing a fabulous job of keeping the public informed. Mm-hmm. She came out, she intermingled this thing with some, you know, gun control, this, that, and then just, you know, took off. That was irresponsible.
Yeah.
So once, you know, the rhetoric I don't think is going to go away, but we need to delegitimize this Black Lives Matter movement. We've had enough of their nonsense.
Sheriff, I appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Megan. That's common sense. That's common sense. And unfortunately, Sean, it appears as though we are drifting into this alternate universe where common sense is not an asset. It's in fact a privilege that very few of us possess, or a luxury that very few of us possess. And I'm telling you, we continue down this path, this is going to become something that is not just something that happens every few months or even every month. This is going to begin to happen every day. These people are being encouraged and emboldened by the media and by the government. And until you get hard knockers like Sheriff Clark and others in law enforcement who aren't handcuffed and scared to death to take action against a black suspect for fear of being called a racist or having their town burned down or having to face some sort of a grand jury inquisition. I don't see how it gets erected. This is probably the most important. People say this every election cycle. This has to be the most important election in recent American history, if not the American history. And I don't subscribe to a lot of conspiracy stuff, Sean, but the whole suspending the election thing and martial law, that has crossed my mind too. A response to what you heard from Sheriff Clark and anything else you'd like to share with the audience that we haven't yet covered with you this hour.
Well, you know, Sheriff Clark, in his infinite wisdom, touched on a number of things that I think are very important. First of all, let's understand something right now. Black people are more likely to kill cops than be killed by cops. According to FBI crime statistics, 40% of cop killers are black. Now, we're talking about 13% of the American population. And when you talk about who's actually killing these cops, it's young black men between the ages of 18 and 49 or 18 and 50, and these guys make up 4% of the American population. Yet they are responsible for 53% of the homicides. A police officer is 18 times more likely to be killed by a black man than a cop killing an unarmed black person. Those are facts. Those are statistics that are just brushed aside, glossed over, or pushed away by our liberal news media. And he talked about legitimizing groups like Black Lives Matter. That's who legitimizes these folks, is the media, the liberal news media. What are Americans to do? Boycott the liberal news media. Boycott them. Turn them off. Refuse to look at them. If they're running CNN in the airport, then we need to call the management of that airport and say we don't want to watch CNN on these TV screens anymore. We want to watch Fox News. If they're, you know, go to alternative websites. You don't need to read the New York Times. There's Breitbart. There's, you know, the Drudge Report. There's a whole host of things we can do. We need to start boycotting the liberal media, and we need to, and that's how you begin to delegitimize organizations like this. There's just no other way around it. You know, I mean, where's it going to go from here? We talked about the frequency of these events. Well, here we are now back in Dallas, just a couple of days later, and they've got the police headquarters on lockdown with SWAT teams out there because of threats that have been communicated. These threats are being communicated to police departments all over the country as we speak. And this is just a couple of days after five officers were killed by, you know, somebody who subscribes to the Black Lives Matter doctrine. So, you know, I mean, look, the American people are going to have to just stand up and say we're not taking the political correctness anymore. This political correctness is deadly. It's killing us. It's killing our police. And when you kill the police, you kill our society. Without the police, we have no society. All we have is anarchy.
I'm still just shaking my head, even as I listen to you. Again, just trying to accept this surreal America that we've entered into as reality. It seems as though we're going to wake up at some point and find out that this was just a horrible dream. If for no other reason, I can understand low IQ thugs with poor impulse control just looking for an excuse to go out and kill white people because they're hate-filled, racist degenerates. I understand them perhaps supporting Hillary Clinton and the Democrats because they know they're going to continue to be given basically a get-out-of-jail-free card. They're going to be continued to be given excuses and have excuses made for their actions if you continue on with the Democrats. But surely there is not enough people in this country that go along with that mindset that would give Hillary Clinton 50% plus one. Even if you are a liberal, even if you are a liberal on some issues, if for no other reason Trump should have your vote because of this one issue, the Black Lives Matter. I mean, who do you think is going to get tough on him, Trump or Hillary? Well, you know the answer to that. I don't see how anyone could vote for Hillary unless they're part of that thuggish mob. I just don't. Not after this. I mean, it's just going to be a horrific place to live if America becomes the next Somalia, the next South Africa, where it's just open season on whites, and that's where we're going. And thanks to the Democratic Party, the Obama administration, and the media, we cannot say that enough.
Yep. That's really what it comes down to, those three things.
Any odds, Sean, you'd like to give Barack on showing up at the funeral of these cops? Do you think he'll sing some songs there?
I'm not sure he'd be welcomed, to be honest with you. I have a feeling if he showed up at the funerals of these cops, we may see a replay of what we saw with Mayor de Blasio after the assassination of officers Lou and Ramos, where we had 10,000 police officers from all over the country turn their back on the New York City mayor at a cop funeral. I've been on this planet for 50 years. I'd never seen anything like that before in my life, and it wouldn't surprise me if Obama got the same reaction if he showed up in Dallas.
I saw, and it would be justly deserved, saw where Barack Obama said America, he was speaking to NATO today in Warsaw, Poland, saying that America is not as divided as people like to think it is. America wasn't this divided during the Civil War. America has never been more divided than it is now. And we have a great fork in the road, folks. And this decision to be made in November is one of epic proportions. Sean, I look forward to having you on next time. But between now and next Saturday, God only knows what's going to happen in Barack Obama's multicultural, diverse paradise that we call the United States. But we will continue to monitor it with you. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Always a pleasure, James. Thank you for having me on.
Sean Bergen, everybody. We'll be back right after.